are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, March the 18th, and two more weekend wins. And guess what? These Pistons will basically be going to the playoffs. I'll make it almost official here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, but hit them twice, Mason.
Detroit basketball! Detroit basketball!
That's right, two wins gets two Masons. And this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we're going to recap a couple of weekend wins, but I do have a complaint. It wouldn't be the Locked On Pistons podcast without me going old man on you guys and talking about the things that I don't like about today's game. It's something that's infected basketball at all levels, and I love when I'm proven right like I was over the weekend, so I'm going to gloat about it a little bit. But later on, we're also going to talk about tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Pistons have the second half of a back-to-back. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook as well at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But the Pistons, over the weekend, kind of put the bad taste of last week out of their mouths, or out of our mouths, or whoever's mouths you want to get familiar with here on this Monday morning. But, you know, we had the blowout losses to Brooklyn and Miami, red letter games on the road last week, got a lot of Pistons fans really discouraged, but followed that up with an impressive weekend, to say the least, Friday night against the LA Lakers, 111-97. And I know there's some disappointed LeBron James fans out there in Michigan. And I was, seeing a lot of the jerseys at the game. I was there on Friday night, a lot of Lakers fans there. And I get the resting. I've advocated for more Pistons resting here on the show. But with LeBron, it's just like, it's a special case. And I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong by sitting him, but it's just unfortunate. And I did some Twitter searches leading up to Friday's game. Found a lot of people talking about how they bought tickets for Christmas for their kids, big LeBron fans. You know, his one time here, he's on the Western Conference, so he only comes to Detroit one time per season. He shows up in the middle of the first quarter and sits on his big, he had kind of an elevated seat to sit on, which I'm assuming helps his groin or maybe his posture or something like that. Don't really know, but he just looks strange, a head taller than Lonzo Ball and Lance Stephenson that he's sitting next to. He's cracking up with those guys the entire game. And he leaves in the third quarter with no, you know, explanation as to what that's all about. And who am I to judge fashion? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you know I'm probably not a big fashion guy, but he's kind of dressed like a jackass, basically, with his short pants and his white shoes and socks. And I don't know, it's a strange appearance by one of the most famous men in the world on Friday night in downtown Detroit. So good to see the Pistons smash that team and that guy as their playoff hopes continued to dwindle in the Western Conference. But 23 points for Langston Galloway, 20 for Reggie Jackson, 19 points and 23 rebounds for Andre Drummond in that game, 20 points and 13 rebounds for JaVale McGee of Flint, by the way. So good to see him have a big game. There was a big Flint contingency there, in part because of the efforts of JaVale McGee and Kyle Kuzma, and also Pistons owner Tom Gores, whose foundation had a lot of the fans out there. And Tom was there too, so nice to see the Pistons owner there. I know that's the butt of many jokes for many of you guys and many of the Pistons faithful, or not so faithful, I guess, as well. But, you know, good to see T-shirt Tom there in rare form, pretty common form when he is there, the rare appearance that he's there, but throwing out the T-shirts during one of the timeouts. Always good to see Tom in Detroit City. But I was there as well, in attendance myself. 13-3 the Pistons are now in games that I attend this year. So again, Venmo me the money and I'll keep going to games. Tell Jim Russ at the Detroit News to keep sending me to games as well. I'll look for an article this week from Mo Wagner of mine as well that you should be looking for. And also a special one coming in a few days that I'll be telling you about in a couple of days as well. But Sunday, the Pistons followed that up with a matinee win against the Raptors, 110-107. Blake Griffin, who, by the way, turned 30 years old on Saturday. So Happy birthday to Blake Griffin. I don't know that I saw that really anywhere, but I had made a note that on March 16th, Blake Griffin would be turning 30, and he did that. So congratulations, and I don't know if congratulations is the proper way of acknowledging a birthday, but happy birthday to Blake Griffin out there. He had 25 points and 8 rebounds the day after his 30th birthday as he embarks on the rest of his life. 20 points for Reggie Jackson, another great weekend for the Pistons starting point guard who somewhat maddeningly, I mean, obviously it's a good thing and you're happy about it as a Pistons fan, but where's this guy been? I know it's been in mostly injuries, but nice to see Reggie Jackson show up for the season, albeit a little bit late here in the 2019 portion of the schedule. Speaking of big guys with a big game, 15 points and 17 rebounds for Andre Drummond, made the big play at the very end. And first of all, knocked down a couple of free throws late. I think he's up in the 80% for his free throw shooting in clutch situations. You know, I think there's a metric where it's certain margin that's close in the last 2 minutes, and he's just shooting lights out, really, from the free throw line in that situation. And we know that's in his bugaboo for much of his career, although he's cleaned it up a little bit these last couple of years. But Drummond, just like Shaq used to talk about when in the playoffs, he'll hit the big ones, and Drummond's definitely been doing that, 2 for 2 on those big shots against the Raptors on Sunday, and then had the big steal from Kawhi Leonard. He gambled a little bit, left his man, double-teamed one of those lazy passes that we've seen the Pistons throw to Blake a couple times lately, but turned the tide a little bit on the Raptors as they went for one of those to Kawhi. Andre gambled, jumped, and knocked it away. And not only that, but was on a 2-on-1 against Van Vliet with Wayne Ellington, and Drummond dropped it off to Ellington, who made the layup, and that was pretty much it, as they went to two possessions at then. Although it didn't quite finish then, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But the Pistons overcame a big night from Kawhi Leonard, who had 33 points. They were lucky again with the injuries, and we'll talk a little bit more about how they're getting lucky some more here in a second. But Kyle Lowry missed the game, so again, that's another all-star that the Pistons missed out playing against, to their good fortune, obviously. So we'll see if that continues, and it does. It will. We know that. The Pistons, I mean, it's just one of those years, right? Normally, as Detroit fans, we're conditioned to think, oh, woe is us, right, about a lot of this stuff. But as far as the injury luck that the Pistons have received, and at some point I'm going to go through all these games this year and say they missed this guy, they missed this guy. They basically didn't see Anthony Davis this year in any kind of real form of what you would expect from him. LeBron, I mean, like stars of the game that they have missed this season, night in and night out. And by the way, after the Lakers game, the Pistons are now 5-2 against teams in the second half of a back-to-back. So finishing off some teams that were like Mortal Kombat, like finish him, you know, they're wobbling. The Pistons are taking care of business there. They are also 5-5 when they are on the second half of their own back-to-backs, and that is the case tonight for the Pistons against Cleveland. We'll talk more about that game later. But so what I kind of do is I figure, you know, you're going to be at an advantage when you're up against teams on the second half of back-to-back, and then obviously at a disadvantage when you are on the second half of back-to-back. So you'd think that those numbers would even out, that the success that you would have when the opponents on the second half of back-to-back should nullify the lack of success that you would have in that situation. But when you're 500 in the bad situation and 5-2 in the good situation, that's obviously a positive working in your favor. So if you add up those two marks, that's 10-7 this year. So 3 games over .500 in those chances where, those should be .500 if you're a .500 team, and the Pistons have taken advantage. So that's at the end of the season, that's going to be one of the stats that stand out as a reason that maybe they overperformed a little bit this season, as opposed to, the projections of them being 2 games under, 3 games under .500 at the beginning of this season. You know, if this ends up being a .500 team or maybe a game over, that might be one of the main reasons why that happens. And you got to give kudos to the team and the coaching staff and the training staff and everyone who gets these guys ready for some of these tough turnarounds. But the Pistons now 36-33 on the season, alone in 6th in the Eastern Conference, a game and a half ahead of the Brooklyn Nets, and 4 games ahead of the Orlando Magic, who are in 9th. So Pistons 4 games inside of the Eastern Conference playoffs. As I've said, 39 wins probably gets you in. 40, I believe, definitely gets you in. If you go 40 and 42 in these Eastern Conference, look at the projections of some of these bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff teams. So that means of these last, I believe, 13 games that the Pistons can go 4-9 and get in. So looking pretty good, and you could maybe even go 3-10 as we look ahead to the rest of the season here. I believe I got my math correct there. So I mean, look, they're basically in at this point, folks. I mean, 3-10, 4-9. I mean, those are very doable marks when we're talking about a lot of teams that are going to be resting, a lot of teams that are tanking, and probably, like I said, even we're going to look at these numbers and probably even think more so tonight, and then Thursday against Phoenix as well. So you got the next two games or two of the tankers, and like I said, some more injury news that came in that was good. CJ McCollum's going to be out at least a week, and the Pistons play at Portland on Saturday, so the belief is that he'll miss that game as well. Certainly not a slam dunk to go into Portland even without CJ McCollum, because it's kind of been a tough place for the Pistons and everyone over the last several years, but another maybe more winnable game than we might have thought originally. But up next, I have a complaint. I've been proven right, and I'm going to tell you all about it. But basketball fans, as we know, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting some upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion and the Dukies cement their legacy with a title? Can Virginia get past the bad taste of their mouths of the 16 seed loss last year? Can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? What about Michigan and Michigan State? How about the Spartans getting the 2 seed in Duke's bracket? What a horrible, horrible result for the Spartans on Selection Sunday. Unbelievable by the committee to disrespect Tom Izzo's group like that. Just unfortunate in every sense for Michigan State. We'll see if they overcome that and maybe use it as a little bit of motivation there. But if you know the answers to those questions, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, multiple bracket guy, and I've been that guy once or twice in my time. If you sometimes I get 2 brackets. Is that all right? Is 2 brackets okay? My real one, and then kind of my upset crazy one. I don't know. Maybe I'm multiple bracket guy, and maybe everyone hates me. I don't know. But MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business, and the best part is they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours, which is not a lot of hours. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 50% sign-up bonus. What could possibly go wrong? With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
Later on, we're going to talk a little bit about tonight's game against Cleveland. But remember, when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. I've been telling you this for a couple weeks, so if you're not doing it as of right now, I don't know what to tell you other than one more time I'll tell you. When you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Now, I love being on the right side of history. I'm sure many of you guys do too. So I've got another old man complaint here, but it's the right one, and I'm glad to gloat, glad to call myself correct. Myself and Larry Brown are like the only two people in the world who still share this opinion. And it almost burned the Pistons in the 2004 NBA Finals. Well, actually it did burn the Pistons in the Finals against the Lakers. That's the only game they didn't win. It hurt the sweep, and Larry talked about this instance on our show when he came on last March. In fact, let's go to Larry Brown. I'm going to play the clip of Larry Brown talking about this instance from the Locked On Pistons show last March. Here it is.
And then game two, it came down to the last seconds. We were up 3, and you know, we generally never fouled up 3. I was always afraid of that, but you know, 5 or 6 seconds. You know, if somebody needed a 3 to tie up, we'd talk about it. And I remember the Lakers called a timeout, and there was about 6 seconds to go. And I told the team, you know, I think we should foul. And they all looked at me and kind of grinned. Said, no, coach, we never foul. We can stop them. I said, no. I said, you know, they usually run some great stuff, and Kobe is the kind of guy that maybe can make a big shot. So let's just take a shot at doing that. And then they looked at me and they said no. And then I finally said, all right, what if Shaq catches the ball? And we never hack a Shaq, and we never double-team Shaq. So every time Shaq sees me, he wants to kiss me on the lips because he probably averaged 45 a game against us. But so they all looked at me and smiled and said, all right. And then when they huddled up, I'm sure after they left, they said, you know, screw him. We're not fouling. But they threw it to Shaq, and we couldn't get to him quick enough. He got rid of it, and Kobe hit an unbelievable shot over rip. And we lost in overtime. It's 1-1. We're going back to Detroit for three games. And on the plane ride back, they're in the front of the plane and playing cards. And I went up front and I told those guys, hey, I apologize. I should have been more adamant in saying we had a foul. And they all looked at me and said, not so nicely, get my whatever back in the back of the plane. We're not coming back to L.A.
So there's Larry Brown talking about fouling up three late in games. And I'll pass along the episode in case you missed that from last March of when we had Larry Brown on the show. But that's one of the instances that I'm talking about here with these late game situations. Again, up three. Do you foul to send to the line there for the two shots as opposed to letting the team have a chance of going up for three? Now, I don't hate that instance as much as the other one that I'm going to talk about here. These needless fouls to give that the teams use. You have a foul to give. There's 10 seconds left, so then you're going to foul them with 5 seconds left. So then they only have 5 seconds to figure out what's going on. Then they'll usually take another timeout and get into it. So it just kind of screws you up a little bit there. But in my mind, that just adds some more variables. You add officiating into the equation. These are, and we saw it over the weekend, there were three, and I would call them two of them, in fact, fairly easy, or all three of them, basically, fairly easy winning situations for the team that was winning at the time over the weekend that either got screwed up or almost screwed up a team's easy win. In one case, it lost the game. This is Iron Mountain. Hopefully, you've maybe read about this or seen this from the weekend. Iron Mountain High School against Pohama Westphalia. This is the Division III boys basketball state finals on Saturday at Breslin Center. Check it out on Twitter. Check out the clips of these calls. They called a travel. Iron Mountain's up one with about 10 seconds left. They take the ball. They break the press. The best kid on the team, the coach's son, has got a chance to put the team up by three with an easy layup. What he should have done is dribble the clock out, by the way, dribble the last 5 seconds out. But got the pass and made an awkward layup that didn't take a dribble and took a couple steps, and they called traveling on him. Now, I believe this was a bad call. He did not travel. If you go back and watch it, he did not put his pivot foot on the ground before he got rid of the ball, which is what traveling is. That's all traveling is, by the way. People make it a lot more complicated, but you just can't put your pivot foot on the ground before you get rid of the ball. That's all traveling is, by the way. But anyway, you went back, you watched it slow motion. It's a bad call. The referees made a bad call there and screwed over Iron Mountain on that basket. Now, the ensuing play, Pohama Westphalia has the ball with 5 seconds left, down one instead of down three because of the bad call. And they got to go the length of the court. So kid takes it, gets the pass around the free throw line, goes and does some dribbling to get in position. He crosses half court. And now there's a couple, you know, you got the regular view. I've seen some Twitter videos of some the media members getting it from behind. And what it was the coaching staff for Iron Mountain is up yelling, foul, foul, foul. And as this is happening, the one kid just basically wraps the other kid around his waist and grabs him, and they called it an intentional foul. And this is something, by the way, that was a point of emphasis from the MHSAA coming into the season, where they were going to call intentional fouls if there were intentional fouls, and this is exactly what happened in this game. Now, there are coaches on Twitter, and I don't watch a lot of high school basketball, didn't catch hardly any this year, even in the state of Michigan, but apparently there's a lot of coaches that are saying that despite the fact that this was a point of emphasis, that the referees hadn't really done a very good job all season of calling this. Mick McCabe of the Free Press had a column that came out over the weekend kind of stating this fact that, you know, he watched so many games and didn't really see it being called all season, and they're going to pick this big moment in the state championship game to make this call. But again, I mean, if you're a coach and you're out there yelling foul, 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 and the player, in my opinion, kind of makes a clumsy effort of making that call, you're up one. They got to go the length of the court with 5 seconds left. Just play. Just defend them. Like, if the kid's going to go weave through your entire defense and make a shot with 5 seconds left, and what's the advantage of falling at that point? You're slowing them down, giving them another chance to draw something up in a half court sideline out of bounds situation with what would there be like 2 seconds left at that point? I think it was maybe even 1 second left. They could throw something towards the basket. They might even have a better chance of scoring than the position that kid was in near half court with a second and 1.7, I think, or something like that, that was left. I mean, I just think that you're just better off playing it out, playing defense, and the coaches in the press conference, you know, ripping on the referees. And again, maybe it was a bad call. I'm not really disputing whether it was a bad call or not. I'm more or less saying when you implement these kind of strategies, when you bring referees into situations that they really don't need to be brought into, you're bringing this upon yourself. You should have let your kids, who deserve the right to possibly win a state championship, let them handle it on the court. Let them play defense like they have all season. We saw this again in the Michigan State Michigan game on the Big Ten championship game on Sunday afternoon. This was another blown call by the officials. That Cassius Winston, Michigan State's up three. Michigan's got the ball. Cassius Winston does the anti Larry Brown, where he's going to foul Jordan Poole and put him on the line for two shots as opposed to letting him get up a three pointer. Now, Cassius Winston makes the foul, and alertly and smartly, Jordan Poole throws up a three-pointer that he obviously would not have thrown up otherwise if he wasn't being intentionally fouled, and is hoping for three free throws. A very smart play on Jordan Poole's part. The referees missed the call. I haven't really seen a very good replay of this, by the way. I saw one replay after the fact, and it was obvious that Cassius was going for the foul. Now, I don't know whether he made a whole lot of contact or not, but as basketball fans, it's like, we got, you know, an in-state rivalry, a great game, two outstanding teams, and we've got a shot to possibly tie this game by one of the more exciting players in college basketball, and we just don't get to see that happen. We just don't get to see whether Jordan Poole or maybe passes it off to someone, and if a three-pointer gets made, if it even gets attempted and tries to tie the game up. I think that's high drama. That's what we want out of sports. I mean, that's the same kid, Pawama Westphalia, would have loved to have seen if this kid could have pulled off this five-second play. Would have loved to have seen if Jordan Poole could knock down that three and send that game to overtime. We just don't get to see that as fans because these coaches come in, they try to overcoach at the end of games. And again, the referees missed the call, and Michigan didn't get even the two free throws on the intentional foul or the three free throws, which they probably should have gotten because Poole alertly tries to circumvent Izzo or whoever the coaching staff, or maybe Winston on his own, made the decision to foul in that point. And I didn't like that one either. And I think that, you know, Michigan should have gotten three foul shots. And again, that would have been a situation where Tom Izzo would have really impacted in a negative way his team having a chance. We saw it in the Pistons game on Sunday. Pistons up three. Kawhi Leonard grabs a rebound with about a second left, you know, 70 feet away from the basket on his own free throw line. And the Pistons fouled right there because, well, if so he's going to shoot two free throws instead of having a chance of shooting a three-pointer, you know, maybe that's a better chance. And Greg Kelser pointed this out on the telecast. Obviously, this was a horrible decision because the chances of Kawhi Leonard or whoever else was going to throw up this three-quarter court shot to tie the game and making that are much lower than what could have happened is that Kawhi makes the first free throw, intentionally misses the second one, and then you got a shot near the basket if you can grab an offensive rebound and throw that up. Again, low probability of that happening as well, and we saw that Kawhi actually missed the first free throw, so he intentionally missed the second one. They would have had to throw it out to a three-pointer with 1.7 seconds left. It didn't happen. Again, very low probability for both of these instances, but certainly a better chance of the second scenario, which is the one that happened after the foul, where you could have, you know, made the first, missed the second, grabbed the rebound, and tied it up. Again, over-coaching, over-fouling, overdoing this strategy, and it all three of the instances, and again, it ended up blowing the game for Iron Mountain. The Pistons won still. Michigan State won still. But there were three instances where they really, in one case, lost the state championship game, and the other cases really could have impacted their chances of winning in a negative way. And that's just, again, I thought I was proven right on all three of these instances. Don't foul so much at the end of games. Let this stuff play out. If the Pistons would have let it play out, Kawhi's not making a three-quarter court shot. And if he does, you tip your hat, you go to overtime. Same thing with Jordan Poole. I mean, as fans, we want to be watching guys try to make shots at the end of games. This is what March Madness is all about. Just defend. I mean, not only have you made games less interesting for fans by going for that as my phone goes off, but it's actually bad strategy because you're ruining the entertainment value. If I'm the ref, I'm looking for, if you're going to basically ruin end of game situations by over fouling, I'm going to look to screw you guys out of it. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the other team. And as fans, we were robbed of a high school kid trying to go full court. I was at the D1 game against Ypsilanti Lincoln against UAD Jesuit. High school buzzer beater. This was everything you wanted. A kid makes a 15-footer, Jalen Fisher, to give Ypsilanti Lincoln the win. These guys are dogpiling right in front of me. Amani Bates, the freshman, the all-American freshman, who's an outstanding player, by the way. It was cool. I mean, it was fun. It was a great moment. But no, we got to foul and chop off a few seconds in some of these other games. I mean, the coach from Iron Mountain going nuts in the press conference. I think it's time to look inward for some of these coaches at their late game strategies. And me and Larry, we agree on this. We know. I just play. That's what I'm saying. We had, instead of having these chances of buzzer beaters and great finishes, we had fouls and controversies and instant replays instead. Just play. That's all I'm saying. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons and go ahead and email me at matt_shook@yahoo.com to find out more. Now up next, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers coming up tonight for the Pistons. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And I'll be honest, I don't have a whole lot to say about the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a team that's a disgrace, as we know. I had a friend at the bar last night for St. Patrick's Day. This is after the Pistons are having some of their biggest wins of the past 10 years in getting four games over 500. They're about to clinch a playoff spot. They're looking at probably the sixth seed here going forward. And all he's talking about, all these basketball fans, that these Valeni guys are just saying, oh, they're blowing their chance of possibly getting Zion Williamson. And, well, you know, Cleveland, congratulations. You're going to have a 14% chance of getting Zion Williamson. You had to embarrass yourself all year to do it. This is a terrible team. Dan Gilbert on presiding over another disaster, and they're probably going to get rewarded by getting a first pick again. Who knows? We saw they got the great Anthony Bennett and Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins and traded him as well. Congratulations to the great Cleveland Cavaliers franchise for blowing a season and possibly getting that 14% chance at a first round pick or the first pick of the draft. But the Pistons, 6.5-point favorites tonight at Cleveland. This is before, as I tape this, any official word on Blake Griffin's status tonight. I believe that he rests tonight. Vince Ellis mentioned in a tweet on Sunday evening that he was gathering, that the Pistons were thinking about resting Blake Griffin. And Blake acknowledged that he was tired earlier this week or last week as well. I believe Blake Griffin sits tonight. We will find out this afternoon, probably a 1:30 report when that comes out. I'll pass that along as I see it. But the Pistons, 11-0 right now this season against the Dregs, the four tanks, as I call them. That's Cleveland, that's Chicago, that's the New York Knicks, and the Phoenix Suns. So we'll see if that continues for the Pistons. I mean, 11-0 is obviously as good as it gets. It's impressive. It's perfect. But I wouldn't be surprised if they drop one of these games these next couple days, especially if Blake Griffin is out tonight. J.R. Smith, Larry Nance, John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova. Those guys are all out. The Cavs were showing some signs of life when Kevin Love came back from injury, but they've put the kibosh on that lately. They now are back to losing. They've lost 5 out of 6, although they have won 2 straight games at home since the Pistons drubbed them a couple weeks back with wins against Orlando and Toronto. So nice showings there by Cleveland. The Pistons may get their first look tonight at Kevin Love this year, although he is questionable with a back problem. We'll see if he goes again. Without Blake on a back-to-back for the Pistons, this is not a slam dunk of a win. But again, they'll have the Phoenix Suns coming up next on the road. This is the last chance that the Pistons will have 2 games off in between games this season. It's fast and furious the rest of the way. But take care of business at Cleveland and then maybe at Phoenix. If they can get both these wins, they're basically in the playoffs. And we'll just kind of go from there. But again, 2 big wins for the Pistons this past weekend. You know, sorry to all my friends who wanted Zion Williamson out there. I know it sucks to watch your team beat the Toronto Raptors 3-0 and sweep a season series against a team that many people think might go to the NBA Finals. I know it sucks to root your team to actually go out and win and play hard and do all those things. But you're not gonna get Zion. You know, sorry about that. The generational talent, you're not going to get him on the team. Just tired of hearing about that. Anyway, this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying enjoy the game against the Cavs tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk about it and more here on your favorite daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Thanks for listening.